Today's forum topic deals with sermon selection, sermon design, types of sermons that we preach. I didn't do it, I promise. I think one of the struggles and one of the challenges of preaching locally week to week is not sometimes what to preach because we preach so often, but sometimes what to leave out and how to arrange that. And we've had a lesson with Sam Wilcutt, did a tremendous job in giving us some practical tips on organizing for a year, but that doesn't help to answer before we start. What kind of sermons are we going to deliver? There are some who are set in this particular way or that particular way, and so the purpose of this is just to get some discussion. Now, if you're ladies in here, maybe your eyes may glaze over a little bit, and some of the terminology may not be as encouraging as maybe talking about training our children as we did yesterday. I apologize for that, but I hope that you will get something out of the discussion that we'll have. On our panel today, I have Brother Mike Vestal, Eddie Parrish, with Ryan Smithy, and I'll ask them to go ahead and make their way up to the front and have a seat. And give you just maybe a little bit of explanation as to the choice of these men. Brother Mike and I have talked for years about this type of thing, had discussions. He has encouraged me. I have talked with Eddie recently about his sermon selection and the way he does that, and I'm impressed and somewhat jealous of the meticulous nature that he has. And hopefully, one day at the workshop, we'll get him to share that with you, his method and plan. And I was thinking of someone else for the forum, and I suppose since there are so many local preachers here, anyone could sit up here and talk, because that's what we want, is discussion. But Ryan is in a unique situation now, filming so many of these type of events and lectureships. He's not only filled the pulpit on a regular basis, but now has the opportunity to hear a number of different styles of preaching. And so it may not be that he'll answer solely from, here's what I think, or here's what I do, or have done. It's, here's what I've heard. And I'm not sure he'll couch it that way, but don't do it like this, because I'm sure he's heard a number of sermons that he might have wondered, you know, where did he get that and where was he going and what did he say? But we do appreciate the work that Ryan and Priscilla are doing. We're thankful that they have volunteered to be here this week and to be a part of the workshop. They have supported us in a number of ways over the years, but to actually take the recording out of the hands of our members to free us up to do some other things is extremely helpful, and we thank y'all for that, for being here. We're going to begin with this question, and that is, could you define in your words, and there's a reason I ask that selfishly and purposely, because define in your words what we mean by the various types of sermons, in particular, topical, textual, expository. I had a number of different instructors to teach expository preaching, in particular, where I attended school, and each one had its own definition of expository preaching, and I'm not sure if I put the all three together when I graduated that I would have known exactly what they were trying to tell me. And so since it's different, we would just like to take on you three guys what your opinion of those types of sermons are and the definition of them, just to begin with. Ryan?
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm glad Wayne expressed that, because as I think back even over, you know, my time at Memphis going through there as well, and then the various studies that you've done since then, you look at what people define, I've come to determine that there is no set definition, I guess, to those types of to sermons. You know, I've gone from the extreme of one of the classes we had there, expository, you're going to stick in the text. You don't go absolutely outside of it for any other reference, to the point that you're looking at the text and explaining it, but it's supported by the facts that we find in other places. So I don't know that they're good technical ideas, but anyway, it's the idea that oftentimes come to my mind. You're thinking of topical. Well, obviously, the first thing that comes to your mind is you got topics you're looking at, topics, character, characteristics, certain themes that you're going to look at, and you have before you the whole array of the Bible. We're going to be able to trace through there, what has God said on this topic? What has he said on this character? And so we have that broad array of material. I think of textual, and in my mind anyway, we're looking more, at least as a springboard, you're looking at a text. I still struggle oftentimes. Where's the line sometimes between a textual expository? I think because of that, I tend to take textual a little away from what others might say and sticking with that text to the idea, in my mind at least, textual is a little more of a, we're going to look at this text, but not necessarily stick it always in as much of its context. Certainly not to take it out of context, but we use that as a springboard to maybe go into other areas. But we're looking at the text. What is this saying to us? And then really more expository, getting into really delving into the background of why is this here? What's its setting? What's its purpose? The context of it? The time it was given? The people it was given to? What it meant to them? But having to bring that back around, okay, that's good, but why does God want us to know that? Why is it here for us? How can we now take that and apply it to other people? So at least roughly, that's the lines along which I go. So.
Yeah, that's very similar to the way I tend to view those three types of sermons. Topical is probably the easiest to define because it's a theme. You know, you want to preach a sermon on faith, and so you start with the topic, or a sermon on baptism or the church. And then you have to decide, all right, how am I going to develop that? That one of the drawbacks, and I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself. One of the drawbacks to am I getting ahead of myself? Okay. One of the drawbacks to topical sermons is, you know, you have to arbitrarily decide how much of this topic am I going to cover. And so, you know, a lot of times you may end up with a long series of lessons on a particular topic, which is fine. But with each of those individual lessons, you've got to decide, all right, what am I going to cover in this lesson? How do I organize all of this material? Think about all the Bible verses there are that address the concept of faith. How am I going to organize this in some kind of logical fashion to present, you know, the full array of what the Scriptures say about it? But that's a topical sermon. You start with a theme. You gather your biblical information, then you try to divide it out into major points or major headings that address some element or some series of elements that relate to that subject. Textual sermons are, in my mind, kind of a combination, a middle ground between topical and expository. And springboard is a word that I use in describing a textual sermon, where you take, and textual sermons, in my mind, tend to come from very small amounts of the biblical text. In other words, maybe one verse, maybe two verses, and you can get your main points from that one verse. Here's an example, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. There's your three points, right? It's one passage, but you could take each of those main points and go everywhere preaching the word, right? And so that's kind of a textual thing. Perhaps you go topically once you get the outline from the text. The Thessalonian letter, your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope. Well, you could take work of faith and spend 10 minutes talking about faith and works. You know, your labor of love, you could talk about the importance of working in the kingdom or whatever. So you get your main points from that short text, but you deal with those main points more topically within the sermon. That's kind of how I view a textual sermon. Expository sermon is usually a lengthier section of Scripture, and your main points and even your supporting points come from that text. You're basically saying, you know, if you take the prologue of John's Gospel, you know, you're addressing the fact, what was John trying to do with this section? And whatever he was trying to do with that in communicating to his readers, that's what you're trying to do in communicating this lesson to your hearers, right? So you're trying to allow the text not only to give you the main points, but to give you the supporting information, and you're just basically exposing the text and letting the text guide your sermons. And you tend to go less two other places in Scripture as you're doing an expository sermon, but it, you know, it's you know, it's not anathema to do that, but you tend to stay more closely with the text, lengthier text, and the form of the argumentation, the logic of the argumentation, or whatever, is also what forms your sermon. That's how I see the difference in those three forms.
I think it is an absolute blast to talk about preaching. And I love my brother Wayne, but ladies, I tell you what, you ever just wonder how the guy did that? Put together sermons? How is it that it reaches? This is a fascinating and exciting type of theme. I get a little passionate about it. First, I want to define preaching, because that ought to be done. We assume some things. Preaching, first of all, is proclamation. Proclamation. It is proclamation, secondly, of divine truth. Those of us who preach are privileged to proclaim divine truth. Third, by a human personality. You come to an event like Focal Point and you see so many different individual personalities as the Word of God is preached. The proclamation of divine truth through human personality. And God wants your personality, preachers, to come out. Never to supersede the will of God, the Word of God. But God gave us personalities, and it's amazing how some people lose their personality when they get into the pulpit, while others assume a personality that is not theirs away from the pulpit. For example, the holy intonation. If you don't talk like that in real life, don't talk like that from the pulpit. God uses human personality, but be yourself. Two personalities. We preach to people. People who have needs, people who have hurts, people who need encouragement, people who need to be matured and developed to greater godliness. Proclamation of divine truth by a personality, two personalities to achieve the desired result. To build up, to warn, to instruct, to rebuke, to help get to heaven. To the glory of God. I want you to know that every time a preacher gets up to preach, it is an avenue of worship. It is an act of worship. Sometimes we talk about the avenues of worship, but oh, how we need to restore preaching as an act of worship. His word is opened. God has spoken. And those of us who preached are blessed to serve what God has prepared. And our ultimate goal is not to hear someone say, oh, what a preacher, but oh, what a savior. Oh, what a savior. Preaching may be biblical in a number of ways. It can be topical. I think that Ryan and Eddie have done a fine job talking about topical preaching. It can be textual. Generally, one verse or two is taken. Revelation 12:11 was a great example. So many more can be given. Matthew 16:24, if any man would come after me, contemplation. Let him deny himself, renunciation. Take up his cross, dedication, and follow me, invitation. The idea, topical, textual, normally a verse or two. Expository preaching is different. Now abideth topical, textual, and expository, but the greatest of these is expository. Why? Because in topical and textual preaching, the preacher is the filter through which much goes. He determines the topic. He determines the verses. In textual preaching, while there is some demands made on him by the text itself, he often becomes the filter for allowing other things to come. Thank God there are many godly filters. Those types of sermons can be biblical and they can be helpful and life-changing to the church, but in expository preaching, everything goes through the filter of the text. Most of all, the preacher. What Denny Petrillo has been dealing with, I tell you what, we've got to think with the heads of exegetes, but with the hearts of preachers when we proclaim the Word of God. There is no substitute for diligent, rigorous exegesis, getting into the Word. Expository preaching is taking a unit of thought in Scripture, a cohesive thought, and using grammatical analysis, historical analysis, and literary analysis, determining what the passage means, determining what is to be done with the passage. Now, a bridge is crossed. Let me put it this way. In exegesis, you dive for pearls. You mine for gold. And I think Denny even used that particular illustration. But in exposition, when it's really done at its best, the pearls are put together into a beautiful strand, a necklace that adorns all the people who are present that day. The gold is mined and made into a ring that people will wear for the rest of their lives. Expository preaching is faithful to the substance of a particular text, the structure of a particular text, and the spirit of a particular text. This is biblical preaching at its purest.
Is this on?
There we go. Mike's already answered the next three, four questions. The next question was that I wanted to give, and I know I gave these men at least some sample questions of what we might deal with so they could prepare their hearts and minds to discuss it. There are pros and cons to I suppose, for a long period of time for any of these, especially if they're not done correctly and they're done just haphazardly. Would you suggest, and I would ask what your preference of how to preach is, and you could share that if you'd like, or Mike already has done that for us. He can do it again if he'd like. But discuss maybe the pros and cons of using one exclusively, or would you suggest using one exclusively? Just your thoughts.
I had a lot that I kind of scratched out as I was thinking, and along some of those lines, three or four questions in there together that, is there a right way that's always going to fit? And oftentimes in my mind, I want there to be you do it this way, it's going to turn out right every time. And what I, begin to look at here is there's not necessarily a right way. We're looking at, what are we trying to convey? We have before us the most wonderful message in all of the world. Now, how can I best get that across? And so I look at these as tools. How can I accomplish that? To get people to grasp, help them to grasp, here's what God has given us, here's what he's revealed, here's what he wants us to know. And so at times it might be that this has got to fit in the topical. This might fit better here with the textual. I've also, along those lines of questioning, begin to realize in that I grasp for a magical key, even expository, it's not a, you do it this way, it's going to work. It amazes me as you look around a little bit, if you try to do some internet searches, how many people talk about expository preaching. And at least they would think that's what they're doing. And yet even in the denominational world, there's a lot of people that claim to be preaching expositorily, but they've got it wrong. They still miss the point. They still incorrectly use it. They still misapply. And so it's not going to be a foolproof method in anything that we do. So we're looking at, we've got to go back to the exegesis. We've got to get our study in to know what God's saying in the first place, to then turn around, how can we package this? How can we present it in such a way that it's best going to go forth? And I might make reference to this later, but my mind kept going back to a carpenter. He's got a lot of tools before him in his tool shed, but the master carpenter is going to know what tool he's reaching for. When he's doing fine detail work, he's not going to reach for a big belt sander or a 3-inch wide chisel. He's going to have tools for that specific purpose. And I believe if we begin to look at the tools as these are a toolbox, how do we present the text of God? Then we begin searching, how can I best do what's set before us? How can I best present that? How can I best do that in such a way that God's going to be glorified, that people are going to be able to come away and say, hey, I learned something, I can take it, and I can now apply it.
Personally, I don't confine myself to one method. I do find myself enjoying the process more in developing expository sermons than putting together something topical or textual. The pros to me of doing more expository sermons is, with expository sermons you have no choice but to dig deep into the text. It sounds kind of simplistic, but isn't that what it's about, right? Expository sermons force you to do that. Topical sermons can be, they don't have to be, topical sermons can end up being pretty shallow if you don't do your homework well. It's very easy for topical sermons to be put together hastily and they wind up not being very deep. Expository sermons, if they're done well, get you into the text. That's one of the difficulties of expository sermons, is they're hard. And I think some preachers may distance themselves from doing more expository lessons because it is hard. It's a difficult process. And if we haven't managed our time well, it's Friday and we're wondering what we're going to do on Sunday, you may end up gravitating toward an easier process. Good exposition takes time, but I think the rewards are greater for preacher and for listener. One of the other things about expository sermons that I like is it helps you to keep the whole counsel of God as a part of the structure of your preaching. I try myself, in planning out my sermons for a year, I try to at least preach through expositorily one biblical book every year. There have been times when I've tried to do an Old Testament book and a New Testament book each year. I don't always do that. But to do that, if you're going to preach through Colossians, you're going to be in Colossians your head's going to be in there. You're going to be digging deep into that. And whatever Paul said in Colossians, you're preaching. A lot of times doing things like that, preaching through Bible books, will save a preacher from having someone come to him later and accuse him of specifically targeting them or whatever. You preached that right at me. Well, in actuality, it was the next section in the book of Colossians, or Philippians or whatever I'm preaching from, and there it is. I'm preaching from that. That's the topic Paul covered. I'm covering it too. So it keeps a balance in that respect. What else? I think I mentioned this. One of the difficulties of of preaching is trying to maintain variety. And so there's a place for, I think, a place for each of these types of sermons, but we need to be sure that we give the same diligence to each sermon, regardless of the type that we're doing. Even though a topical sermon may be easier to put together structurally, it deserves the same diligence as an expository sermon does. And some topical sermons can be treated expositorily. Don't forget that. Some, you know, the elders come to you and say, you know, we want a series of lessons on Christian living. All right. Well, you know, what does God expect from the church? Well, go to some texts that deal with that. Go to the letters to the seven churches in Revelation. You want to know what God expects from the church? Treat those lessons expositorily, and you've covered the topic of what God expects from the church, Christian living, things like that. So there can be some overlap in some of these things too.
Poor preparation and poor preaching, I don't care if it's topical or textual or expository. If you poorly prepared, if you poorly present it, it's bad preaching. It just is. Because this is an act of worship to God, and we are serving His Word to people who desperately need to hear it. Imagine David B. Jones here taking his boy Wayne to go play golf. Wayne gets the bag out, his bag. It has one club. David looks at Wayne and says, "You're going to use one club? You're going to beat that poor ball to death." A lot of preachers fail to appreciate the marvelous variety, the incredible breadth of God's Word. And basically, they try to use one club on the course. Preach topically. Preach textually. Preach biographically. Preach biblically by combining elements of each. Preach expositorily. Take advantage of each of these methods. Again, and with expository preaching in particular, understand that this has to do with a much more intensive study of a particular unit of thought, a paragraph, a chapter, perhaps. He's already alluded, Eddie has, preaching through a book like Colossians. That's not mandatory, but it is one variety or shade of exposition that can be explored. Think about this. You are limited only by what God's Word says and your lack of a sanctified imagination. Think about it. It is so much fun to explore poetry, wisdom literature, gospel, history, apocalypse. We have that opportunity every week to serve up what God has cooked up. Isn't that great? It really is. Exposition, however, rests upon solid grammatical, historical, and literary study. Poor study, poor sermon. No matter what it is, poor study, poor sermon.
I had just a couple of thoughts. One is in looking at dangers and pros and cons and things such as that. I've heard men preach, for example, on the topic of obedience, and they'll start in the garden. Adam and Eve were disobedient. They were punished. Cain and Abel. One was obedient, one wasn't. Noah was obedient. The rest of the world wasn't. And walk through all those examples, and then two Sundays later, preach a sermon on faith. Well, Adam and Eve, faith failed. Cain had faith, or Abel had faith, and Cain didn't. There is a very real danger of falling back into what we know more of in Scripture and bringing the topic to that. I think coupling what we're doing here today with what Denny is doing for us in the workshop and what Michael Height did last year for us is I believe if you get true exegetes, Scripture, then when that man stands to preach a topical sermon, the scripture is going to come alive there as well. He's not going to draw that out of context. I think personally about preaching from the Sermon on the Mount. I'm preaching from a fairly topical sermon and preaching it in expository fashion. If I preach Acts 2, you know, the topic is Jesus Christ, with a number of different Old Testament verses strung together in their context, exposed correctly. And so I think that the attitude toward honoring the text and an expository mind will, I think, filter over and spill over into every other thing that we do. We're going to close this part of the thoughts and ask another question. So is there anything more we want to add about the different types? Add it now, if you will.
The only comment that a few that I had that I kind of wanted to get in was, one, the idea is remembering in all of these things in the appeal, I think that expository really helps with. I came across a quote that referenced our society and what we have to do in the minds of people. It is too easy for people to come and listen and say, that's great, that's what you had to say about the topic. And I think that can especially show in a topical. Well, you went there, you looked at that, that's what you have to say about it. To be careful in any of these, but especially that's one benefit, if you will, of the expository, is to go back and we can say, here's what God has to say about it. Here's what he has presented. And to show that it's not simply our thought, it's what's there, it's what's presented, it's what God said, and that we can go and show that. But then also the wonderful idea I think that you presented of variety. Just if you look at any of the things throughout the Bible, you know, God used a variety of people in the prophets and their approaches and their attitudes. You have the hardness almost of Amos that came up to a frivolous society in Israel. And yet you also had the love and the compassion that was shown in the prophets. You see that in Jesus that approached things different way. You see him with questions, with parables, different types of approaches as he came to people. And so highlighting in anything that we do, in all of these things, that need for balance to go through and use these varieties and use them well to present, if you will, it's a craft. It's just like that woodman that's working. We're not drawing attention to ourselves, but we want to draw attention to that which God has given us in his word. And so using the tools that are before us to do that well.
Preaching must always be biblical. Always. It's God's word that has to be proclaimed. Sometimes we lose sight of that. But what exposition does, and I really believe this, I have some strong views about preaching, most of you know that, but I think young men especially, while trying to preach in all of these varied forms, there is no set concrete sermon form, okay? There's no set concrete sermon form. There is no mold to which everything gets poured and bang, 3 points in a poem come out. More about that momentarily. But exposition forces men to so get into the text that I'll say this. A great expositor can be a great preacher, period. A person may be an excellent topical preacher. A person might be an excellent textual preacher. Some men are known for biographical sermons, and they do a great job, and they're biblical about it. Wonderful. Thank God for them. But a man who masters exposition can preach well textually, topically, biographically. You listen, and they'll touch your heart with the truth.
That is kind of leads us into the final thought that I wanted to ask you to talk about. And I was going to tell you, Mike and I have talked about this before, and so I don't know if he wants to begin this or not to deal with it. He alluded to it a moment ago. One of the things, and I just feel like I'm talking to you because I want your advice. Part of the struggle of expository preaching is having been trained that every sermon is to have an introduction, 3 or 4 main points, and a conclusion. You get into some text to preach them expository, there aren't 3 or 4 main points. There may be 1 main point, there may be 20 thoughts in a text and drawing out to one conclusion in the end. It's just in recent years that I've gotten away from every sermon having to have, feel like it's not complete until that third or fourth point is in the outline and it needs to be made. So just some thoughts relative to whatever style you're going to use, and Mike mentioned it, everything doesn't have to flow through that. So any thoughts or suggestions regarding the style and the substance and the structure and varying that up and the purpose for that and what that might be?
I think that was part of the question that you initially posed in the email to us. And as I thought about that, I go back to what you said, 3 points in a intro conclusion. It's good to have structure. It annoys me. One of the annoyances I have, I guess, as I do get to listen to others, is a total lack of structure. Because I'm wondering all the time, do you even know where you are? Because I sure don't. And sometimes it comes back around. We've mentioned Dan Cates this week. I used to sit in his classes and said, he doesn't know where in the world he is. And then the last 5 minutes, it all comes together. Some can do that. But I like to know where we're at, where we're going. And so that's helpful. But not everything's going to fit that exact mold. And so we've got to have that flexibility. We've talked about balance. You talk about flexibility. I think the other thing that I would, I think would be my concluding remark, one thing that hit me, it's not deep, but I got to realize it. I've never really sat, even in these recordings, whatever work I do, and thought, that was a great textual sermon. That was a great expository sermon. And most people you walk out in the halls each Sunday, that's not going to be their thought. And I think that goes back to, I use the idea of a craftsman. Again, I think of a woodworker. He's got a lot of tools before him, and he's going to make some joints in wood, but there's not a lot of people that are going to come up and say, well, that's a great finger joint. That's a great corner pocket joint, whatever all the terms are. I don't even know them. So, but they can appreciate the beauty of what's created. And I think that's where we come down to, we master a craft, if you will, as we're preaching, to present it, and we need these tools. But the end result is what gets seen when we present that. And that's where people can glory, not in us, but to be able to see the text unfold before them and know that's what God's trying to say to us all along. And so how we get to that point is what we need to be concerned about, and mastering that ability, and not necessarily a specific form, I believe.
There are a couple of people that I get in trouble with back at Brown Trail if I don't have point one, point two, point three, not in serious trouble, but they like that because it helps them to know where I'm going. And so most of my sermons do that, but not all of them, because there are a lot of texts that don't lend themselves to that. And you know, the structure and the layout of the text needs to have some kind of an impact on the structure and the layout of your sermon. Now, especially if you go and you're dealing with preaching through some of the historical books, especially in the Old Testament, with a lot of that, those accounts, there's not an argument, there's not a line of argumentation that's being made. It's just it's a telling of events. I'll do sermons like that. Where I don't have I don't have an outline of point one, point two, point three. I've got a sermon on David and Goliath that basically I'm just walking through telling the story as it's laid out in the text. And then when I get to a particular section where there's perhaps a good practical lesson, I just insert it in the process of telling the story of the text, and people are getting the lessons, but I'm not necessarily stopping and saying, okay, everybody clue in, here's lesson number one. You know, you just insert it as you're going through, and you're just walking through people through the historical account. And so the text a lot of times determines the structure of the sermon. And I heard a great sermon one time that was delivered in the first person. It wasn't a dramatic play or anything like that. It was just an individual took the life of a biblical personality and drew from the text but did it in the form of the first person. I thought it was very, very effective. So there are different ways to present, to present various truths from various texts. And a lot of times the text will determine that structure in a sermon.
In 1870, John A. Broadus published a book called A Treatise on the Preparation and Delivery of Sermons. It has had profound influence for Bible believers for 125 years. People who read Tom Holland's works, I asked Brother Holland a couple of years ago, what homiletician has really influenced you? John A. Broadus, A Treatise on the Preparation and Delivery of Sermons. That book strongly emphasized the introduction, body, conclusion approach that many of us were taught in college or schools of preaching. It is a wonderful approach. It is not the only approach. There is no set in concrete form. By the way, the first place preachers ought to look for sermon structure is the last place many do. The text. The text. One size does not fit all. Remember Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Beware the dogs. Beware the evil workers. Beware the alliteration. Remember that one? The mutilation. In the last 25 to 30 years, alliteration, a tool, a helpful tool, has become so prevalent with some preachers that people in the pew have an inside joke going on whether all the points will begin with B or C or A, and whoever wins, somebody's going to buy their lunch at Luby's at the cafeteria. Do not force all sermons into a particular structure. Use variety. Please look at the text itself. The text ought to inform how you present the sermon so people can see things. Last night, Eddie preached a sermon on forgiveness. It was an expository lesson in many ways, certainly biblical to the core, but he looked at one passage with other passages that corroborated and substantiated and proved his ideas. Two main concepts which were clearly seen. One, we are big sinners. Two, God is a bigger Savior. I believe I could get a lot out of that, don't you? If I'm sitting in the pew looking at 1 Timothy 1:12 through 17 as he brings out its truth. Last night, Brother Reagan followed him up. I'll be a friend to Jesus. And if you've been a Christian any length of time, that song is one you've sung and heard repeatedly. And he brought to our minds repeatedly the verses and how a friend is faithful, how a friend is compassionate, how a friend will speak up for another. I'd say both of those sermons were biblical to the core, wouldn't you? But they were tremendously varied in the approach. And I rejoice in that. Then a knucklehead by the name of Vestal yesterday afternoon dealt with the seven deadly sins of preaching. And you know, as I studied Titus, I started to think, you know, the Holy Spirit sure giving Titus an awful lot of information about how to deal with those people in Crete. Those people in Crete, they're tough to deal with. And by looking at what he says positively and looking at the negative of each, Titus 1, 1 through 4, a failure to be God-centered and gospel-oriented. Paul told Timothy, Paul and Titus as well, to be just that, God-centered, gospel-oriented. You could just go right through the passage, and Titus itself unfolded before people so that we could avoid these sins of preaching. Those approaches are all different because preaching is not just a science. It is an art. It is a craft, like Ryan was talking about. And different workmen may use different tools in a slightly different way, but the product is precious and beautiful.
And where would we be without that variety? What if every preacher did everything exactly the same way and sounded exactly the same way? I wouldn't want to listen to a lot of sermons just from a human perspective if they all sounded exactly the same.
Guys, I appreciate you having a part. We're out of time. I know that's an abrupt end, but thank you.